Welcome to The Goal is Whole. New creation studies you can apply daily to live complete in Christ. Series 3, focus on community, one together. Part 2, one glorious church. Study 022, Unity Expressed. One of the strongest things we see in the Passion of Jesus is that his people may all be one together. John 17, verse 21, he prayed that they may all be one, even as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they also may be in us, so that the world may believe that you sent me. From that, we see that our unity is the basis of our witness. The world believes. Unity is also the basis of community. It's the sense of common unity and the manifested power of God. In Acts 5, verse 12 to 16, we see an early expression of this in the church. At the hands of the apostles, many signs and wonders were taking place among the people, and they were all with one accord in Solomon's portico, but none of the rest dared to associate with them. However, the people held them in high esteem. And all the more believers in the Lord, multitudes of men and women, were constantly added to their number to such an extent that they even carried the sick out into the streets and laid them on cots and pallets, so that when Peter came by, at least his shadow might fall on any one of them. Also, the people from the cities in the vicinity of Jerusalem were coming together, bringing people who were sick or afflicted with unclean spirits, and they were all being healed. This is the power of God manifested, and it came out of this community that had been formed in oneness. But unity isn't something we can create. Rather, it's something that exists in the new creation, and we have to embrace it. We have to engage it and outwork it. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 12 to 13 says, "For even as the body is one, and yet has many members, and all the members of the body, though they are many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and we were all made to drink of one Spirit." This unity exists in the Holy Spirit, and our challenge is to preserve that unity. I want to turn to a key passage in this theme now, in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 through 6. "Therefore I, the prisoner of the Lord," Paul writes, "implore you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling with which you've been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, showing tolerance for one another in love, being diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There's one body and one Spirit, just as also you were called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all." Wow, that's pretty powerful. As you pick up there, unity isn't something we create sometimes, but something rather that we're called to preserve. Yeah, I was going to say, sometimes we think that unity is something we've got to try and build by agreements and, you know, common like doctrines or something. But this is on a different plane to that. This is spiritual unity that already exists in the new creation, and we're just called to preserve it. So there's a lot in that passage that we need to consider, and I want to pull out four keys that I see. First is that we're called to walk in a manner worthy of our identity. From that, I see that community life needs work. Not work to achieve this unity, but rather an outworking from the new creation nature that we have within us, letting the reality of who we are in Jesus flood out. So we have to deny the old nature and live in the new. It's new creation living together. And we will find as we do that, this unity exists there. Second, the new creation lifestyle is so contrary to the world and the fallen race. Look at verse 2. "With all humility and gentleness, with patience, showing tolerance for one another in love." Wow, what a manifesto clause that is for our communities. A community centered on this kind of attitude will be a powerful statement to the world. Well, how is that possible? Well, easy. It's Jesus. It's as we embrace the fullness of Jesus together, so this becomes a reality between us. Walking it out, though, requires a determined approach to community life. It's not a passive. If we live passively in these things, we're never going to achieve it, because we default back to the old nature. And the old nature just takes offense at things. It makes selfish choices, thrives on pity, impatience. That doesn't work in the community of the One Glorious Church. We have to engage rather the Spirit on purpose for the sake of community and unity. And we find that unity manifests there as we do that. Third point, the latter part of the passage reinforces again that it's just one body and comes about through one Spirit. This is the One Glorious Church. One body, one Spirit, called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. So we see this amazing unity that exists in the new creation. We can't get close to that in the old nature. The fallen race is inherently selfish and disconnected. But in the new creation, in the One Glorious Church, we've been baptized together into one spiritual body. Now, unity can so easily be broken on a surface level and in our daily experience, and we need to guard against that. But it's actually never broken in the Spirit. Unity is always available for us there. If we will just come back and engage again, we will find it is as real as ever. So making purposeful one another choices help to preserve the unity that we have, allowing it to manifest. And as the unity manifests, so does Jesus. And in the Acts 5 passage that I read above, you know, the key was that they were all in one accord together, and it led to power, miracles, healing, deliverance, and rapid growth. All came out of this sense of unity. So for the rest of this study, I'm just going to go through a list of verses in the New Testament that have this phrase, one another. This is the fourth point I wanted to mention out of the Ephesians passage. All right, so it's showing tolerance for one another in love, that passage said. So there's many, many statements in the New Testament that talk about one another, the way we behave one with another. And I'm borrowing this split of these and summary of these from Jeffrey Kranz online, I saw on overviewbible.com, just giving credit there, where there is the assembly of all of these one another's. First of all, there's a whole third of them, pretty much, that are promoting unity of the church. I'm probably not going to get through this whole list in talking through this, so have a look at it on the written study online to get all of the verses and all of the statements. But I'll just pick some of them, see how far we get. First of all, then, in promoting unity, be at peace with one another, Mark 9:50. Don't grumble among one another, John 6:43. Be of the same mind with one another, Romans 12:16, and then again in 15:5. Accept one another. I'm going to stop giving the references now. Wait for one another before beginning communion. Don't bite, devour, or consume one another. Don't boastfully challenge or envy one another. Gently, patiently tolerate one another. Be kind, tender-hearted, and forgiving to one another. Bear with and forgive one another. Seek good for one another. Don't repay evil for evil. Don't complain against one another. Confess sins to one another. Then there's another whole third of the one another's that promote loving one another. The statement love one another appears at least 11 times in the New Testament. Through love serve one another, Galatians 5:13. Tolerate one another in love. Greet one another with a kiss of love. Be devoted to one another in love. And then humility, about 15% of the one another's stress and attitude of humility. Give preference to one another in honor. Regard one another as more important than yourselves. Serve one another. Wash one another's feet. Be subject to one another. And then a whole list of kind of random ones at the end. Don't judge one another. Bear one another's burdens. Speak truth to one another. Don't lie to one another. Comfort one another. Do you get the picture? This community lifestyle of the way we behave one to another. And really all this is it's just outworking this holiness that we looked at in the unit on true holiness. But we're doing it together in community so that we have this unity that is manifested out of this attitude of oneness, so that Jesus is always the focus. He's the one that's elevated and exalted. And then he empowers and inspires this community such that it is filled with the new creation realities that we are really pursuing here. So this is the one glorious church, unity expressed.
The goal is whole. New creation studies you can apply daily to live complete in Christ.